Praise God. Hallelujah. No, that's a good thing. That means we're growing. Amen. That means we're investing in the next generation. Amen. Because all of us, well, I'm not going to get too deep in trouble this morning. Amen. But we have to, because we're not getting any younger. Amen. We got to invest in the next generation. Amen. To see the church be strong. Amen. So I'm thankful. Amen. For what they're doing in the back. Amen. Amen. That's what revival's like, and that's what revival sounds like. Amen. So good to be here again with you, good, faithful saints of God. Amen. What a beautiful spirit of worship we feel in this house. Give honor to Brother and Sister Marshall one more time. I love and appreciate them very much. Had great fellowship at their house last night. A little indulgence and some coffee and some desserts. It was great. Amen. Precious time we had over there. Amen. Give honor to my wife. Love her. Appreciate her very much. Best thing, amen, other than God helping me was my wife. Amen. Straightening me out. Amen. Amen. The book of Galatians, chapter number 4, verse number 4. Amen. I hope you're a little excited this morning because, amen, I don't want us just to sit back and cross our legs and just listen to the preaching, but I want us to engage this morning. Amen. I woke up this morning. I went to my chair like I do every morning, and I thought in my mind, I said, I could not imagine waking up this morning and not want to go to the house of God. Hallelujah. I love coming to church. Amen. The Bible says in verse number 4, of Galatians chapter 4, the Bible says, and when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant. So I say, no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Amen. Therefore thou art no more a servant, but a son or a daughter. And if you're a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Amen. Aren't you thankful for the word of God this morning? Hallelujah. Why don't we lift up our hands one more time and begin to pray in this house? God, we love you. Oh, God, I thank you. God, in the name of Jesus, God, we love you. We thank you for your power and your mercy. God, I pray before we leave this house this morning, that we all get a fresh revelation of who we are and who we are in the eyes of God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God, I love you. God, I magnify you. God, I realize today I am not a servant. I am not bound, but I am a son. And if I'm a son, then that means I'm an heir to Christ. I'm an heir to you, God, in the name of Jesus. God, I want to stand on Galatians 4 and 7 in the name of Jesus. God, I love you. God, I praise you. God, I want you to move right now in this house. Come on, why don't you worship Him right now? Hallelujah. I don't want you to give Him servant praise, but I want you to give Him the praise of a son. I want you to give Him praise that you're an heir to the kingdom. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! My God, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I want to preach to you. I want to preach to you for the next few moments. I'm looking forward to my inheritance. I can't speak for you this morning, but I'm going to speak for me. I'm looking forward to my inheritance. Is there anybody that feels that same way? I wish you would put your Bible down, clap your hands unto God with everything you have and say, you know what, preacher? I'm looking forward to that inheritance too. I'm looking forward to what God is going to do today too in the name of Jesus. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost stirring this house. Come on, I wish you wouldn't give him an applaud, but I wish you would clap your hands unto God. Amen, with everything you have. Yes. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Everybody say in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated all over the house. I'm looking forward. Somebody say forward. Amen. I believe that's the direction of this church. Forward. I believe that's got to be the direction of our life. Forward. Amen. Things that have happened in our past, leave it in the past. If it's water under the bridge, leave it under the bridge. But the way we have to live our life is forward. Amen. That's why I'm looking forward, amen, one day to my inheritance. Amen. People that are forward are purpose-driven. Churches that are looking forward are purpose-driven. Amen. We are not someone. Someone that looks forward is not someone that just shoots out in the dark. Someone that is looking forward is not someone that'll just shoot from the hip and not aim. But someone that is looking forward is someone that is precise. Someone that knows what they want. Amen. I'm just, when someone that looks forward, amen, their life with God, we're just not doing this just because, and we're just going to roll the dice, if you please, and just see what happens. But no, when you're looking forward, you know what you want. You know where you want to get with God. You know what you need. Amen. That's what it's like to be purpose-driven people. I look forward to Sunday morning church. Amen. Because I want to be purpose driven. Amen. I don't want to, because I'm telling you, amen, on that trailer out there, there was a little rain hitting on the top this morning when I woke up. If I wouldn't have been purpose driven, Brother Marshall, it would have been a whole lot easier to turn the alarm off, pull the covers up a little bit, and get a little extra sleep this morning. Amen. But I'm telling you, I got up this morning looking forward to what God is going to do in the house of God this morning. I woke up looking forward to someone speaking in tongues. I woke up looking forward to somebody getting victory on a Sunday morning. Amen. And that's the way we have to live our life if we want to be purposed mind people. We have to ask ourselves these types of questions. Why do you live the way you live? Can you answer that? Why do you live the way you live? Why do you come to church? What's your reasoning behind coming to the house of God? Why do you do the things that you do? These are questions we have to ask ourselves to become purpose-driven people. What is your purpose of being the person that you are and acting in the ways that you act? What is your main reasoning behind that? What is your goal behind that? Amen. I pray that every one of us, amen, can answer these questions. We can answer these types of questions in our life. We have to be purpose-driven people. Because when we are not looking forward, and when we are not being drove with purpose, amen, without purpose, we stall out. Without purpose, we burn out. Amen. Burnout's not just for the ministry. Amen. I don't believe you should ever burn out if you're purpose-driven people. Amen. But as saints, you can get burnt out sitting in the same pew, doing the same thing, feeling the same thing, doing the same thing. Amen. Without no purpose, we burn out. Amen. Because you cannot accidentally end up in heaven today. You cannot stumble your way through the pearly gates. Amen. But it's going to be because you are looking forward and you are purposely driving your life with heaven in the target. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't accidentally end up at church on a Sunday morning, but you woke up today with that intention in mind. You don't accidentally end up at prayer meeting. You don't accidentally end up at Saturday morning outreach. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But that's going to have to be a purpose-driven thing in our life. I will tell you a few things, amen, that you accidentally stumble upon. Amen. Sin is one thing that you accidentally fall into. Amen. Because when you lose your purpose, you lose your focus, and it's easy to fall into traps, amen, that the enemy will set in your life, amen. I believe God, our intentions today are to be Christians, amen. The word Christian means Christ-like, amen. We have to be like Christ, and Christ was a purpose-driven person. The Bible says from the foundation of the world, Brother Jared, he was the lamb slain. He had a purpose in mind from the very first day. There's no beginning. It is hard to wrap our mind around this, but from the very first, we realize there's no beginning, but from the very first thought, God decided to create a man. He already knew a man was going to sin, and he already knew that he was going to have to robe himself in flesh and die for the sin of his creation, because he was purpose driven. He knew what he had to do. Amen. Christ is purposeful, and we have to be purpose driven people. I know I'm spending a little time on this foundation, but I promise we're going somewhere. The Bible says in Luke chapter 9 and verse 10, the Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save. Somebody say, seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus Christ robed himself in flesh for this purpose, to seek out you and I, and to save those which are lost. Amen. Every person in this room, I'm thankful that you're found today, or if you're looking to be found today. Amen. Every one of us, we have been lost a time in our life. Amen. Every one of us, we know what it's like to be far from God. We know what it's like, amen, to wake up on a regular morning and say, God, I messed up. I sure hope you don't come back today. Every one of us have been in that place in our life, amen, where we were lost because we were born in sin, in shape and in iniquity. Amen. We have to have our purpose, amen, to get to the house of God. Amen. People that are lost have no purpose. But I'm telling you, we have to have purpose in this house today. Amen. It's God's purpose that got you to this house today. The only reason you're here is because God robed himself in flesh, and he's still seeking you out in 2020. He's still seeking you out in February of 2020, and he's seeking to save you. Amen. His purpose is the only reason you're not in a world today. Your purpose is the only reason, amen, you're not high on drugs or are addicted to alcohol and worldly lifestyle. It's only God's purpose. It's not that you're good enough. It's not that you have enough class. No, the only reason you're in the house of God today is because his purpose was to seek and to save those which are lost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful for a God, amen, that comes after them that are lost? Amen. If God would not have purpose, amen, you would not be here today. If God did not have purpose, you would have died a long time ago. If God would have not had purpose, come on, you would have left the church a long time ago. If God would not have had purpose, you would have split your marriage up a long time ago. If God did not have purpose, hallelujah, you'd be lost and headed to a devil's hell. But thank God for his purpose. Thank God for his purpose. The Bible says in the book of Luke, chapter 18, excuse me, verse 15. Oh, excuse me. Praise God. Let's wake up this morning. Luke 15 and 8, the Bible says, amen, this is the parable of the lost coin. The Bible says, neither was what a woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does she light a candle and sweep the house and look diligently until she find it? And when she found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Amen. Our purpose today is to mirror the purpose of Christ. Our purpose for living on this earth is to be Christ-like. Amen. It's not to get a better house. It's not to get a better job. No doubt them things are necessities, and no doubt we want those things. But our purpose, his purpose, was to seek and to save them which were lost. And we are the lost. And it's our purpose to seek him and find that salvation. Hallelujah. Our purpose has to mirror his. He is looking for the lost. And the lost has to be looking for him. That's how you get plugged up in a service. Amen. When you're wondering about everything else, you don't get connected on in the house of God. But when God is seeking you, and you are seeking God, and he's looking for the lost, and you're the lost, amen, there's a connection that God does with you, and you can find him. What an amazing thing to find God. What an amazing thing for a God, amen, that is everywhere. A God that is all purpose, all knowing, that you can find him and you can find salvation. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, amen, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he cometh to God, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. Somebody say, a rewarder. Come on, you ought to say that again. A rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Matthew 5:12 says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Oh yes, I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. Once you become saved, amen, you have to become purpose driven people. Amen. You have to believe. Amen. That's why people that believe in once saved, always saved. Amen. I don't believe in that. If the Word of God didn't tell us anything else about against once saved, always saved, we could show you biblically through God's purpose, amen, that that's not the will of God for us to live, amen, because people that become once saved, always saved, amen, once they become saved, they have nothing else to drive them. They have no other reason to come to the house of God. They have no other reason to do the things they do, and God would never put that on us, because remember, the ones without purpose are the ones that fall in sin. They're the ones that fall away, amen. There's nothing to drive them. Amen. They have no kind of purpose in their life. Amen. But I'm telling you, there's nothing more that'll drive you to church. There's nothing more that'll drive you than knowing who you are, and that the God that we serve will reward them that diligently seek him. Amen. And knowing who their spiritual father is, you got to know the end factor. You got to know the reason why the things you do. Amen. Because you're an heir of God. Amen. I'm telling you right now, the ones that worship him, he rewards them. The ones that give God praise, he rewards. Oh yes, amen. The reason I worship is because my God will reward me in my worship. Amen. I'm not here to act spiritual and say, oh, I worship God, amen, because I just live in the clouds and I'm just worship. No, there's no reason. It's not taboo to say the reason I worship God is because he's a rewarder of the ones that diligently seek him. Amen. And that's the reason I worship is because I want God to reward me. The reason and I praise, it's because I want God to move in my life. Hallelujah. We have to be purpose-driven people, amen, to have a blessed life on this side of glory. Woo, hallelujah. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with expecting your inheritance. There's nothing wrong with expecting a reward. Woo! Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Hallelujah. The word air. Hallelujah. In our scripture text, verse number 7, it says, therefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You can look up that word heir. And it says, one who receives or is entitled to receive something. I want to tell you, saints of God, that you are entitled to this. Amen. I know we look at entitlement. We got a bad taste in our mouth for people that are entitled in the world and think that you owe them something, but I'm telling you, you better never let that get in your spirit. Amen. You better have some entitlement against hell and say, you know what, amen, you can do what you want to do, but I'm entitled to worship God. I'm entitled to give God my praise. Why? Because I'm an heir. Why? Because I'm looking forward to what God has for me in the future. It's my God given right to worship. It's my right to give God praise. Woo! The Bible says the Lord knoweth the day of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. 1 Peter 1:4, to the inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven. I'm telling you, God wants everyone to have this inheritance. Amen. But you're going to have to get in your mind, amen, that this is yours. Amen. Because the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God said you can have life and you can have it more abundantly. Amen. You better not let the enemy steal your joy. You better not let him steal your inheritance on a Sunday morning. You better know that God has something great for you today. It's the will of God for you to leave this house redeemed. It's only shame on us if we leave the same way we come. Shame on me. If I come in the house of God, in the presence of God, and I leave the same way I came, shame on me. Because I'm telling you, there's inheritance in this house. We got to wrap our heads around it. Come on, there's people in this house you might have walked in thinking you were a bondman or a bondwoman, but I'm telling you, you can leave this house a son. You can leave this house, amen, with entitlement. You can leave this house, amen, feeling a part. You can leave this house feeling strengthened. You can leave this house feeling encouraged, amen, because that's what the enemy wants to do. He don't have a problem when you come to church as long as you don't tap into what God has for you. He don't have a problem with you coming to church as long as you sit there and you're a bondman or you're a bondwoman. But I'll tell you where the enemy does have a problem, when you start getting the revelation that, hey, this is entitled to me. Hey, this is mine. This is my inheritance. This is my breakthrough. This is my church. This is my glory. This is what I'm going to do when I come to the house of God. I'm not going to sit there like a redheaded stepchild. But what I'm going to do is I'm entitled to what he died for me. That is mine. It's my right to worship. It's my right to give God praise. Hallelujah. Bible says in Galatians 4:6, hallelujah, amen, God has sent forth his spirit and his son in your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Amen. Spirit is the son. Amen. The Bible says in John 3:5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Without the spirit, you cannot have this inheritance. Without the spirit of God on the inside of you, you hear me, church, you cannot have the inheritance. The spirit is what makes you an heir. The spirit is what makes you a son. If you're in this house, you need to pray, God, I want the spirit. God, I want the Holy Ghost down in my soul.
Oh, yeah. John 16:7 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For I go not away. The Comforter will come unto you. But I will depart, and I will send him unto you. Jesus said, I do not fulfill my purpose and die. Amen. I'm just not going to leave you hanging. But he said, I'm going to send the Comforter to be back with you. And if there's no Comforter, there are no heirs to the kingdom. Amen. But you might ask, then what is the Comforter? I'm so glad you asked that question. John 14:26, the Bible says, amen, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I said the Holy Ghost, amen, is going to show up, and that Spirit's going to dwell on the inside of you. Amen. You need to be full of the Holy Ghost today. Amen. It's not the will of God for you to come around, amen, and be halfway full, get a halfway touch. But no, if you want to heir to what God is doing, you need a full experience today, honey. You need a full experience today, brother. You need your cup running over. When's the last time you left this house with the Spirit of God in you and he was running over? If you were running over today, you would be on your feet praising God. But I'm telling you, amen, the only reason is because you don't know you're an heir. You need to get a revelation, hey, that this is mine. Ooh, God, in the name of Jesus, God, I would by your Spirit that you let revelation fall in this house. God, I would by your Spirit that you would let a deep move of the Holy Ghost settle in this house right now in the name of Jesus. God, I defy every spirit of hell that is trying to put a lie in the minds of your people in the name of Jesus. God, I defy that spirit that is trying to choke the life out of this church. I defy the spirits of hell that is trying to tell the people of this church that you cannot be an heir, that you cannot be an heir, that you can't be a worshiper. But I pray before this service is over that every one of us would get on our feet and we would give God the praise that he deserves. God, I'm an heir. I'm an heir. I'm an heir. I defy the spirits of hell. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, God, give fresh revelation. God, give fresh revelation. Come on. Come on, we're not going any further until we get this. You're an heir. You're an heir. We're not going further until we break through this. I feel the spirits of hell trying to come against us right now. But I'm telling you, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm here to defy that spirit. You can worship God. You can get loose in the Holy Ghost. You can shout. This is your God-given right. This is your entitlement. When I come to the house of God, I'm entitled to worship. When I come to the house of God, I'm entitled to give God praise. You being an heir is your promise. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I'm telling you right now, God's promised you to be an heir. Oh God,
You can't be a bondman and heir. Oh God, I feel the Holy Ghost. You can't be a bondwoman and be an heir. You know how you become a bondman or a bondman or a bondwoman? Is when you got sin in your life. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. We got to get the sin of our lives to get this revelation. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost. I didn't expect this to go this way, but I'm telling you, God's in this house. There's people in this house you can't get loose. Amen. Because there's sin somewhere that you got to get out today. You got to get it out today. Amen. The reason you can't worship the way you want to worship, amen, is because you're still a bondman. You're still a bondwoman. But I'm telling you can't truly get the revelation until you get the sin out of your life. Romans 9 and 9 says, for this is the word of promise. At this time will I come and Sarah shall have a son. Now this is, I want you to hear me, and I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel like I really thought we was going to end on a high note, but I'm telling you, I really feel like God is turning this, trying to grab a hold of us in this house today. I don't know you, and you don't know me. Amen. Ain't up. This pastor hadn't told me nothing. I'm telling you right now, this is all in the Holy Ghost right now. Amen. If you want to take it out on somebody, take it out on God. But I'm telling you, he said, this is the word of promise. Genesis 15:5 says, and he brought forth abroad and said, look upon toward heaven and tell the stars. Even if thou be able to number them, that he shall come unto them, and they shall see thy seed. This is the promise that God gave unto Abraham, just like the promise of you to be an heir in this house today. Amen. But there's a problem. Amen. He already had sin in his life. There's a problem. He already had Ishmael in his life. But the promise and sin can't live together. We know that Abraham and Sarah got impatient with God. And Sarah gave Abraham her Egyptian handmaid Hagar. And they had a son named Ishmael. Ishmael was not the promise. But I'm telling you, the only way you can live in the promise is when you get the Ishmaels out of your life. Genesis 21:10 says, wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son. Amen. You got to get the bondwoman mentality out of your life. Sarah said, Abraham, you got to get her and her son out, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son. Sin, God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Sin and the promise can't live together. You got to get it out of your life today. And the reason we can't worship like we need to worship is we got to get the sin out of our life. We got to get it burnt out, and that's the power of the Holy Ghost. Or the only thing, if we have someone to come to the music, you can come to the music. If we don't, that's all right. We're going to pray all over this house. But I'm telling you what we need to do before we can look any more forward. We got to get the sin out of our life. Before we can truly look forward to our inheritance, we got to get this bondwoman, bondman mentality out of our life. Amen. You don't have to be bound by sin. You don't have to be bound by the things of this life and the cares of this world. You don't have to be bound by all that. But I'm telling you, you can be set free in this house today. You got sin tormenting you. Amen. You can be set free in this house today. Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I'm telling you right now, you can be set free. Amen. From everything that the enemy's lied to you, everything the enemy's done to you, amen, because you're the promise. God wants to give you the promise, but you can't be the bondwoman too. Hallelujah. You can't be the bondwoman too. There's too many people juggling bondwoman heir. Bondman heir. We're an heir on Sundays, but we're bound on Mondays. You can't keep a clear view of heaven. You can't look forward to living that kind of lifestyle. That's a miserable lifestyle. I'm telling you, I felt a spirit of darkness a minute ago when we started praying. And the reason we're not breaking through is there's too many people in the house that don't know you're an heir. You don't know what you exactly have. You don't even know what you have. You don't even know what kind of opportunity God has for you in this house today. But I'm telling you, if you'll get the revelation, if you'll come to this altar, I believe God will fill you back with the Holy Ghost, and God will put a fresh revelation in your spirit, and you can say, you know what? I'm looking forward to my inheritance. You know what? I'm not a bondwoman. I don't have to live in sin. I don't have to live that lifestyle, but I can live for God. The devil can't keep you out of the house of God when you're an heir, because you're entitled. You have entitlement today. I wish we would take advantage of that entitlement and begin to pray right now. There's sin in this house, and you need to get it out of your life. There's sin in this house, and it's robbing you of your sleep. It's robbing you of your time. It's robbing you of your peace. I'm telling you right now, God has opened a window in this house that you can step through, and you can become an heir to what God has for you. The reason you can't worship like you want to worship is because you look at yourself as a bondman. You look at yourself as a servant. And I know we're servants of God, but we're supposed to be servants to God. But when we look at ourselves as a servant, we look at ourselves as lowly. We look at ourselves as worthless. He said, you're not a servant. You're a son. Oh, God. Quit looking at yourself as a servant and look at yourselves as a son. God's sitting there with his hands saying, what are you doing? You're a son. You're an heir. This is your entitlement. I wish we had all prayed in this house right now.